This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. I will start our shir in chapter 17, verse number 14. The verse says, Kisavoi el oretz asher Hashem lekecho noisen lach, when you will come to the land that Hashem will give you, virishto, you inherit it, vishavtabo, and you will dwell on it, vomarto, then you will say, osimo alai melech, let me put on me a king, kechol agoyim, like all the nations, asher svivoisai, that are around me. Basically, the Torah is telling you that when you come into the land of Israel, you will want to have a king. Then the Torah tells you, soim tosim olecho melech, you should surely put a king on you. But note the language, soim, put, tosim, you should put. It's double talk. The Torah could have just written down, tosim olecho melech, you should put a king. The Torah doesn't have to write down, soim, tosim, put, you should put. What does it imply? And even though in many places in Shas the Torah says that there is a machloikus, there is a disagreement, when the Torah gives this double talk, if it has special meaning, and we have to learn, oy dibra Torah kaloshim bnei yadam, the Torah speaks like normal people speak, and some people use this double talk to emphasize, but here we have to understand, according to the opinion that says that every time it's written this double talk, we have to learn something from it. What do we learn from that? For example, last week when he said, Noso in Titin, give, you should give, the Gemara learns that from the double talk we learn that you should give even 100 times to the poor. So what do we learn from Soim Tosim? Put, you should put. Why is the Torah writing the double language? But going back to the verse, that verse tells, Soim Tosim Olecho Melech, you should surely put on you a king, Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecho Boy Mikerev Achecho, that Hashem, your God, will choose in him from amongst your brother. Tosim Olecho Melech, you should put on you a king. Lo Yisuchal Losez Olecho Ish Nochri, you are not allowed to put on you a foreign man, Asher Lo Yochicho, who is not your brother. Meaning, whenever you appoint a king, you have to make sure that that king is Jewish. You're not allowed to appoint a foreigner as a king. I wanted to answer this question based on the Chasam Sofer on this week's Parsha. The Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Peiches, Amud Aleph 88a, learns from what is written, Mekerev Achecho, from your brothers. It's not written Me'achecho, from your brothers. From there, the Gemara learns that it has to be Mimufchor Shebeachecho, from the best, from the chosen one of your brothers. And Toysus in Soited Daf Mem Alav Omed Beis 41b there explains that this means that the father and mother of this leader, this king, have to be born Jewish, meaning they cannot be somebody who converted. Because it says, Mekerev Achecho, it has to be from your brethren, which means that has to be from somebody that was your brethren before, and not just somebody who came now and became Jewish. That he holds that if either the father or mother converted to Judaism, then the child is not eligible to become king. And we also know the famous Gemara that Hashem wanted to destroy completely Sodom, but he saved Lot, because out of Lot was going to come out two predos, two doves, which are going to convert to Judaism, and they are Ruth Moavia and Noamo Amoinis. Ruth marries Boaz, and from Boaz comes out David HaMelech. That means that out of Ruth will come out the Moshiach. And Noamo marries Shlomo HaMelech, and out of her is also going to come out the Moshiach, meaning Hashem saved them because of these two doves that will come out of him, of Lot. And therefore Hashem wanted to make sure that the progenitor of Moshiach is going to be born, and Hashem saved Lot because of that. But Sefer Be'er Sheva and Sefer Ma'ana Chochma ask the question that we understand Ruth Moavia, she marries Boaz, and out of Boaz in later generations is going to come out David HaMelech, which is going to be king of Israel, and out of David HaMelech is going to come out the Moshiach. But Ruth was not the direct mother of David HaMelech. She was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. then there is no problem of David HaMelech becoming king if his great-grandmother converted. But Noamah Moinis married Shlomo HaMelech. She converted and married the king directly. Then, according to that opinion of Tosfos, Rehoboam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, should not be eligible to becoming king. Because since Noamah wasn't born Jewish, she converted to Judaism, as we see that she was a Moinis, then how is it possible that the Jewish people allowed Rehoboam to become king over Israel, when the pasuk says her mekerev achecha, it has to be from the chosen of your brothers, and Tosfos says that it has to be that the father and mother are born Jewish. Noamah Moinis clearly was not born Jewish. She was an Amoinis. Then how can they make Rehoboam a king? The Chasam Sofer answers that when the Torah tells you Soim Tosim Olech Melech, that you should put a king over you, that refers to only when you are putting the king for the first time. But once the king is a king, then that king gains for himself and for all his descendant afterwards the kingdom, even though they are not anymore mekerev achecha, even though the mother is not Jewish and she converted to Judaism. Meaning that since David HaMelech was a very upright king, and David HaMelech's mother was Jewish, true that his great-grandmother was not Jewish, but we don't have to look that far up. All it's important is that his mother and father are Jewish, then the king is an eligible king. Once David HaMelech became king, then automatically his children get the kingdom, not because you are making them a king over you, they get the kingdom because they inherit the kingdom from their father. Meaning, you are not putting the king anymore over you. You only put the king over you for the first time, and then you did the right thing, because you put David HaMelech as king, and David HaMelech's father and mother were born Jewish. But once David HaMelech gets the kingdom, then the rest of his children who become king after him, they're not kings that you put over you, they are kings that inherited the position of their father. And regarding that, the Torah doesn't tell you that you has to be mikerev achecha, mimuvchar shebachecha, has to be the chosen one of your brothers. Only when you are putting a king over you, that has to be a person whose father and mother are Jewish. But once they get it automatically, even though they are a king over you, but you are not putting the king over you, then in that case, the mother does not have to be Jewish, and therefore Rehoboam was eligible to become a king. And that is the interpretation of the word Soim Tosim Olech HaMelech. Soim, when you are putting, then Tosim Olech HaMelech Mikerev Achech. Then you should put a king from amongst your brethren, from the best of your brethren. But when you are not putting, then it doesn't have to be that the father and mother are Jewish, and could be that even the mother converted to Judaism. We'll now proceed to give a different answer, but before we do that, we have to explain this psukim that we just read. Normally, when you read this first pasuk that we mentioned, you could explain that the Torah is telling you that when you come over to Eretz Yisrael, you inherit Eretz Yisrael, then you may want to decide that you want a king. Then Hashem is telling you that this is a procedure for you to get a king, that you have to make sure that the king is mikerev achecha, from your brothers, and it can be a foreigner, and the other conditions written in the pasuk that you have to make for a king. And as a matter of fact, this is the opinion of Rab Nohoiroe in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Amud Beis 20b, where he says that it's not a requirement for us to have a king. Hashem is already predicting the future that the Jewish people are going to want a king. Therefore, Hashem is telling the Jewish people in the Torah what conditions they have to follow in order to establish a king. But according to Rab Nohoiroe, the fact that the Jewish people are asking for a man of flesh and blood to be a king, and they are not satisfied of having Hashem, who is king of all kings, as a king, that is something that the Jewish people asked improperly. And therefore, it is very good, the rebuke that Shmuel Anovi gives in Shmuel 1, chapter 8, verse number 5, when the Jewish people ask for a king, and Shmuel Anovi rebukes them. But according to the Rambam, that the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yehuda and also like Rabbi Yossi, which both of them say that Shalosh Mitzvot Nitzavu Yisrael Bechnisasam Laoretz, that the Jewish people were commanded three mitzvahs when they came into the land. And the first mitzvah they were commanded to do when they came into the land is Lahamid Lohem Melech, that they have to establish to them a king, meaning that they have a requirement, a mitzvah, to make a king over them. And the second mitzvah that they are required to do is La'achris Zaroi Shel Amolek, to destroy the seed of Amolek. And the third mitzvah the Jewish people have to do when they come in the land is Livnois Lohem Beis Abchira, to build a Beis HaMikdash. That means that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda hold that establishing a king is not a choice that you have, that if you want, you should establish a king in that way. It is actually a requirement. Hashem is telling you, when you cross over the land, Soim Tosim, you are required to establish a king. And according to this interpretation, when it's written, Ve'omarto, you will say, it means that you will have to say, in the same way as the mitzvah of Ma'ake, where you have to put a parapet, a protection, a fence around your roof. There also it says, Ve'osiso Ma'ake l'gagecho, you will make a Ma'ake to your roof. And there it means that you have to make it, because it's a mitzvah. And here too, when it's written Ve'omarto, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, it means that you have to say, because you have a requirement to say when you come into Israel that you want to have a king, then we have a huge question. Why did Shmuel Novi rebuke the nation on Shmuel Aleph chapter 8 about asking for a king if all they are doing is performing the mitzvah that is required? Shmuel Novi should not have rebuked, and he should not feel bad that the Jewish people are asking for a king. They are just fulfilling the mitzvah of the Torah. And furthermore, we see in Shoftim, in the story of Pelegesh Begiva, which is Shoftim chapter 18, verse number 1, and the story of Pesel Micha, where there it says that the only reason that this happened is because Ein Melech BeYisrael, because there is no king in the Jewish people, meaning that these atrocities could only happen, the idolatry of Micha, and the story of Pelegesh Begiva, that Binyamin wasn't giving over, the people committed the crime of Pelegesh Begiva, of the concubine and giver, to be judged by the Jewish people. It could only happen if you don't have a king. But if you had a righteous king, which the righteous king would show leadership, he would have never permitted these atrocities and outrages to happen. Then we see clearly that it is desirable to have a king. Then the question is even stronger: why did Shmuel Novi rebuke the people and Hashem got angry when they asked for a king? The Rambam in Hilchos Balachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis, says that the reason Hashem got angry when they asked for a king is not because they asked for a king, is because of the reason why they asked for a king. Meaning, had they asked for a king because they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, that Hashem told them to have a king, then Hashem would have been very happy. But the reason why they asked for a king is because they went about to complain against Shmuel Anovi, against Shmuel the prophet. Because they rejected Shmuel Anovi, they got weary of Shmuel Anovi. As a matter of fact, the Rambam brings proof from what's written in the verse, that the verse says in chapter 8, verse number 7, that Hashem is consoling Shmuel Anovi by saying, Kiloi oischa mo'asu, that they did not reject you, meaning they did not reject you, Shmuel Anovi, ki oisi mo'asu, that they rejected me from being a king over them, meaning that the reason why Hashem got angry is because they rejected Shmuel Anovi, and not that they wanted a king because they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. The Alshach asks a question on this Rambam, that seemingly then the main reason why Hashem got angry and why Shmuel Novi got angry is missing from the book, meaning that the book in the Novi, it writes down the pasuk right afterwards on chapter 8, verse number 6, Vayere Adover Beine Shmuel, that it was wrong in Shmuel's eye, Kasher Omru, when the Jewish people said, Nalon Melech Leshofteinu, that give us a king to judge us. It seems that Shmuel Navi was upset from the fact that they even asked for a king. And also in chapter 12, verse number 17, Shmuel Navi rebukes the people and says, Ra'u, and see, ki ro'aschem rabo, that your evil is great, asher asisem b'enei Hashem, that you did in front of the eyes of Hashem, lishoil lochem melech, to ask for a king. Then we see clearly that just the mere fact that they asked for a king, it seems to be bad in the eyes of Hashem, not the fact that they rejected Shmuel Navi, that they came with complaints. It seems just from the fact that they asked for a king, that in itself was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Furthermore, the Al-Shach asks that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Amud Beis 20b, there the Gemara continues, Tanya we learned, Rabbi Lazar Amar, Rabbi Lazar says, Zekenim Shebedar Kehugan Shalu, that the elders of their generations, when they ask for a king, they ask for the king properly. Shenemar, because the verse says in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 8, verse number 5, that Simolanu Melech Leshofteinu, that we want to have a king to judge us. And that, says the Gemara, is the proper thing to do, that the king is supposed to judge the people, and therefore they ask for a king to judge us. But the Gemara continues, Aval Amahoritz, Shebohan, but the ignoramus amongst them, the simple folk amongst them, they asked improperly, because they asked that we want Gamanachnu Kechol Agoyim. They asked that we want to be like all the nations, meaning they didn't want a king to be judged by the king, they wanted a king to be like all the nations of the world, and that is improper. The Al-Shach asks, if that is true, then theoretically when Shmuel Navi feels bad that they ask for a king, Shmuel Navi should feel bad that they ask for a king to be like all the nations, not that they ask for a king to be judged. And yet the verse says that Vayera Dover Bene Shmuel, that it was wrong in the eyes of Shmuel, Kasher Omru, when they said, Nu Lanu Melech Leshofteinu, give us a king to judge us. Then we see clearly that the fact that they asked to be judged by a king, that was already bad in the eyes of Shmuel. And that is what the Zakenim, what the elders of that generation said. And Rabbi Lozer said that they asked properly, not what the ignoramus, what the Amayarot said. The Navi, the prophet, should have said that Vayera, Adover Bein Shmuel, Shmuel became upset, Kasher Omru, when they said, Nu Lanu Melech Kechol Agoyim, when they said that give us a king like all the nations. Or if he became angry for both reasons, then he should have said, Nu Lanu Melech Kreshofteinu Kechol Agoyim, give us a king to judge like all the nations. From the fact that the prophet writes down that he became angry when the Jewish people asked for a king, Leshofteinu, to judge us, that he picked specifically the words of the Zakenim to be upset, then we see clearly that he was upset by the fact that the Zakenim asked for a king, even though the Gemara says that they asked in the proper way. Another question that we could ask, that in this week's Parsha, on chapter 17, verse number 14, the verse says, Kisovo el oretz Hashem Hashem lekecho noisen lach, when you're going coming to land that Hashem gives you, virishto, you will inherit it, vishavto bo, you will dwell in it, vomarto, you will say, Osimo alai melech, I will put on me a king, kechal hagoyim, like all the nations, asher svivoisai, that are around me. Meaning that the reason that you are going to put a king is because you want to be like all the nations that's around you. And as we mentioned, according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, this is a mitzvah. That means that asking for a king to be like all the nations that's around you, theoretically, should be a mitzvah. Then why does Rabbi Lozer there say that the Amoraites, the ignoramus, the simple folk, asked for a king improperly, because they asked for a king to be like all the nations, and that's why Hashem got upset, when it's clearly written here in the Parsha that you'll ask for a king to be like all the nations of the world? Then clearly that seems to be the proper thing to do. Then why was Hashem upset? In truth, from the fact that the verse here says that you're going to ask for a king to be kechol agoyim, like all the nations of the world, the Ramban says that since we know that's clearly improper
that the Jewish people should learn from the nations of the world, and we should not be jealous on the nations of the world, then clearly when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people that you are going to ask for a king to be like all the nations of the world, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them a rebuke, is giving them an indirect rebuke, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu already knows the future. He sees in the prophecy that the Jewish people are going to ask to be like all the nations of the world, and Hashem is going to give them a king. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is relating what they are going to ask. You are going to ask improperly that you want to be like all the nations of the world, but nonetheless Hashem is going to give you a king. But according to the Ramban, it is improper to ask to be like all the nations of the world, and this is a part of a hidden rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to the Jewish people, because Moshe Rabbeinu knows that the ignoramus, the Amoraites, are going to ask improperly, and therefore Hashem is going to be upset, but nonetheless Hashem is going to appoint them a king. Therefore Moshe Rabbeinu puts in the words of rebuke that you are going to ask for a king, kechol ha-goyim, to be like all the nations that's around you, because clearly Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to tell them to be like all the nations that's around them, because that is improper, because we should not try to learn from the nations that's around us. We are special people. From the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu puts that, shows clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the future and knew that they are going to ask him properly. Therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is already using the words that is going to be used by them in the future. Others explain that even though appointment of a king is a mitzvah, but nonetheless they should not have done it during the life of Shmuel Anovi, of Shmuel the prophet, because that is a slight against the honor of Shmuel Anovi. And that is also the idea of the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi comments like that. But on this reason, they ask a question that we technically have a problem, because no matter when you ask for a king, you are going to dishonor and be a slight on the honor of any prophet. Meaning, since the verse writes down here in our Parsha that you should appoint a king, that Hashem, your God, is going to choose in him. And the Sefer writes down that boy in him means Hashem is going to choose through a prophet. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam writes down in Ilchas Malachim, Malach Gimel, that Eim Amid Melech B'tchila, that you can't appoint a king, Elo Al Pi Bezen Shel Ayin Aleph, only through the Bezen of 71, which means the full Sanhedrin, Ve'al pi Novi, and through the mouth of a prophet. That means that in order to appoint a king, you require to have a prophet. Then no matter when you appoint the king, you are always going to have a slight of the honor of the prophet, meaning you are going to do it in the life of a prophet. That means you technically are rejecting a little bit of the prophet. Unless you're going to say that there's a difference between prophets and prophet, meaning Shmuel Anovi was a very great prophet and rejection of him is considered a great slight, but another prophet's rejection is not considered such a slight. But it's hard to say that, because clearly we are required to have a prophet in order to appoint a king, and any time you appoint a king, you are rejecting the prophet. By the way, based on the Rambam that we just mentioned, that the appointment of the king has to be first by the Sanhedrin, by the judges, and then by the Novi, by the prophet, and only afterwards he is appointed on the Jewish people, the Divrei Yoel says that according to this we could explain why the Torah here uses the double talk. The Torah says, Soim, Tosim Olecha Melech, that you should put on you a king. And we ask a question, why is it written Soim Tosim, put you should put, in the double language? The Torah could have just as easily written down Tosim Olecha Melech, that you should put on you a king. Why is the Torah using the double language of Soim, put, Tosim, you should put? But according to this idea of the Rambam, that since we require to have a two-step process to appoint a king, that the first, the king has to be appointed by the judges and the prophet, and only afterwards he is to be appointed by the Jewish people, then therefore the Torah tells the Soim, first let the judges and the Novi and the prophet appoint a king, and then Tosim olech ha-melech, and then you will be able to put the king over you. Meaning, the reason it's written the two languages of Purim is because in order to be a king, the king has to be appointed first by the Sanhedrin, by the judges and the prophet, and only afterwards by the Jewish people. So therefore it's written Soim first by the judges and the prophet, and then Tosim olech ha-melech, and then you'll be able to put the king over you. The Balakedo in his first answer says that the reason why Hashem got angry is because they asked for a king, Leshofteini, to judges. Meaning, they wanted to be judged by the king. And we know that it's written, Vamishpat Leloikim Hu, that the Mishpat is to Hashem, which means to the judges, to the Dayonim, to the Sanhedrin, they are the ones who are supposed to judge the people, not the king. Therefore, since they wanted a king to be judged, that is considered a slight, and specifically it was a slight against the honor of Shmuel Hanavi, because he was the judge of the Jewish people at that time, and therefore Hashem became angry. But they ask a question on the Balakeda that seemingly a king is supposed to judge, meaning how can the Balakeda say that it was improper because they wanted to take away the judgment from the judges and give it to a king? We see clearly that the job of a king is to judge the people, as we see that David HaMelech judged the people, and we also see that Shlomo HaMelech judged the people, as a famous story of the two women who came with the child in front of Shlomo HaMelech for him to judge. Then we see that it is proper for a king to judge. Then why is Hashem angry when they ask for a king to judge? Because that is the job of a king, that the king is supposed to judge the people. Then theoretically, Hashem should not be angry when they ask for a king to judge them. Then the other answer that the Balakedo explains is that the problem was that they asked for a king not for the right reason, meaning that they asked for a king to bring them honor and glory amongst the nations, meaning that they shouldn't be different than all the other nations. Meaning, in the same way that all the nations of the world have royalty, have kings to represent them, we also wanted to have kings and royalty to represent us whenever we discuss with other nations. Had they asked for a king to fulfill the mitzvah, that would be proper. But since they asked for a king for a wrong reason, therefore Hashem became angry. The Satmar Rebbe doesn't like this answer because he asks a question from what is written in the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Amud Beis 50b, which is a famous Gemara. The Gemara there says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Le'olam Yasik Adam B'Torah Mitzvah, is a person should always be involved in doing Torah, learning Torah, Mitzvahs, and Mitzvahs, Afal Pi Sheloi Lishmo, even though he doesn't have the proper intentions when he does it. He has ulterior motives when he does it, but nonetheless, the person should always do the mitzvah regardless, because Shamitoich Sheloi Lishmo, that because he's used to doing this thing, this mitzvah, without the proper intention, eventually, Bo Lishmo will come for you to do the mitzvah and learning Torah for the proper intention. So we see that even though a person is doing things for the wrong reason, for the wrong intentions, nonetheless, we should always do it because eventually it will come for the right reason. Then the Satmar Rabbi asks, why is Hashem angry at the Jewish people for wanting a king for the wrong reasons, meaning not because of the mitzvah, just because they wanted to be like all the other nations? We have this rule that it's better to do things shaloi lishma. They are performing the mitzvah of appointing a king. Then what difference is it if the appointment of the king is for the proper reason or the wrong reason? True, the optimum way is to do it for the proper reason, but nonetheless, we should always do the mitzvahs regardless, even if it is for the wrong reason. Then why is Hashem so angry at the Jewish people for them asking for a king? If they are actually performing the mitzvah, then it should be okay, because eventually, Shemetoich Sheloi Lishma, when you do mitzvahs not for the proper reasons, it will eventually end up being Lishma for the proper reason. The Kli Yoker brings this question and he brings a few answers. On his first answer, he gives the name of Yesh Omrim. There are those who say, but he doesn't quote who says it. And I'm going to expand a little bit on this idea of the Kli Yoker. The Kli Yoker explains that there's a difference between what is written here, that Hashem tells you that the proper way to ask for a king, and what eventually the Jewish people did when they asked for a king. Here in this week's parsha is written that you are going to come and you are going to ask, Osimo alai melech, let me put on me a king, kechol agoim asher svivo yisai, like all the nations that are around me. Meaning that you will want a king like all the nations want a king. But yet, when the story is brought down in Shoftim, when the Jewish people ask for a king, the Jewish people say something differently. The Jewish people say, Simo lanu melech, appoint on us a king, leshofteinu kechol agoyim, to judge us like all the nations. Meaning, the Jewish people didn't want just to have a king like all the nations. The Jewish people wanted to have a king that will judge them like all the nations. Meaning, they are rejecting the judgments of Hashem, the laws of Hashem, and they want to be judged like all the nations by the laws of all the nations. And therefore, Hashem became angry at the Jewish people, meaning they were rejecting the judges of those generations, the Shmuel HaNavi specifically, that was judging according to the law of Hashem, and they wanted to be judged like all the nations of the world. And according to this interpretation of the Kli Yoker, the Satmar Rebbe's question is not a question anymore. The Satmar Rebbe's question in Divra Yoel asks, what is the difference, what the reason for asking a king is, since we have the rule that Shemetoich Shaloi Lishmo, even if you ask for something or do a mitzvah improperly for the wrong intention, nonetheless, if you do the mitzvah, eventually that will come to the right intention. Then the question is, what's different, what intentions the Jewish people had when they asked for a king? Since they are performing the mitzvah, then theoretically that should be okay. But according to what Tosfos says there, that is not okay. Meaning, because Tosfos asks a contradiction in the Gemara. In one place it says that a person should learn Torah shaloi lishma, even not for the proper intentions, because eventually it will come to the proper intention. And the other place that Gemara writes down, that a person shouldn't learn shaloi lishma, and if he learns shaloi lishma, better that he should die than learn not for the proper intention. Then Tosfos asks this contradiction, and Tosfos resolves this contradiction by explaining that not all loy lishmas are equal, meaning not all ulterior motives are equal, that you should always learn even for ulterior motive, that it really depends what that shaloi lishma, what that not proper intention, that ulterior motive is. Meaning, if you are learning the Torah for the ulterior motives, just because you want to get honor, or you want that people should call you Rabbi, then in that case we tell you to learn anyways, even for the wrong reasons, because eventually you will come to the right reasons. But if you're learning Torah, lekanter, to reject Torah, in order to learn the Torah, to be able to go against Torah, or to cause harm to others, in that case we tell you that better die than learn Torah for the wrong reasons. Then comes out that if you learn Torah or make a mitzvah, lekanter, to cause somebody to reject Torah, then we say that it's better that you do not perform the mitzvah, because in that case your ulterior motive is so harmful that we prefer that you do not do this mitzvah at all. Then according to this, we understand why Hashem got angry at the Jewish people. True that the Jewish people are performing the mitzvah of asking for a king and appointing a king. But since, according to this idea of the Kli Yoker, they're doing it only to reject Torah, because they want to reject the laws of Hashem, and they want to be judged like all the laws of the other nations of the world, that means that you are performing this mitzvah lekanter. You want to have a king in order to reject Torah. In that case, we say that's better that you should die and not perform the mitzvah at all. Therefore, because the Jewish people wanted to have a king in order to reject Torah, Hashem got angry because that is clearly and totally improper. The Kliyokar answers that the reason why the Torah tells us to put a king over us, meaning what is the advantage of having a king and why is that a mitzvah, is because what is written in Pirkei Avos, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Beis, where there Rav Chanina Zgan Kohanim says, "Have a mispalel b'shloima shel malchus," that we should pray for the peace of kingdom, "Shilamala moira," that if not for the fear of the government of the king, "Ish esreyu chayim ba'aloi," that a person would swallow up his fellow alive, meaning that each person would do whatever he wants, but a person doesn't do that because he is afraid of the king. That means that a king is supposed to instill fear in the people, and fear is an excellent deterrent of you doing the wrong things. Therefore, Hashem said that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, it is proper that you should appoint a king, meaning that Hashem knew that after we come into Eretz Yisrael and we are going to become wealthy and we are going to become fattened up, then everybody who has a little power, who has a little wealth, would want to do what his heart's desire. Therefore, Hashem wanted to make sure that you put a king over you in order that the fear of the king will keep you in check, that you won't perform, you won't do what your heart's desire, because the king will put you in check and you'll be fearful of him. As you could see before the idol of Micha and before the story of Pilegesh Begiva, of the concubine and Giva, the prophet writes down and emphasizes that this happened because Ein Melech BeYisrael, because there was no king amongst the Jewish people at that time. Had there been a king in Israel, the fear of the king would have kept you from performing these awful sins. And therefore the Torah says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, that you will say, "Osima Olai Melech," that I should put on me a king. It says on me, which means that the king will be above me, he'll be superior to me, and I will fear him, I'll revere him, and that will cause me not to make sins, because he is superior and above me. And that is what Hashem wanted a king to be. But when the Jewish people asked for a king on Shmuel Aleph, on chapter 8, verse number 5, they say, "Ato now sima lanu melech," give to us a king. They don't say olai melech, they don't say on us a king, they say to us a king. And the Kliyokar says that they wanted a king in the same way that now people want a rabbi in town, meaning the people want to choose a rabbi, they want a rabbi that they could control. They give a rabbi a contract for a few years, and this rabbi is fearful that his contract may not be renewed. This rabbi is afraid that he's going to lose his job. Therefore, the rabbi is afraid to say what needs to be said. He's afraid to do what needs to be done, because he's afraid that if he does it, he is going to lose his job. And therefore, this rabbi does hanifa, he does self-gratification, and he looks the other way when people are doing bad things, because he's afraid for the job. In the same way, the Jewish people wanted to have a king. They wanted to have a king they could control, a king that they could tell what to do, but not a king that will be over them, that will put fear in them and control them. As a matter of fact, the Kliyokar says that they had Shmuel HaNavi, but they knew that Shmuel HaNavi cannot be bribed and Shmuel HaNavi cannot be made to look the other way. Therefore, they wanted to have a king which will follow what they want to say. And therefore, Hashem tells Shmuel HaNavi that you should know that they're not rejecting you. They know that you are an honest man. They're rejecting me. They do not want to follow the Torah. Therefore, they want to have a king they could control. And therefore, Shmuel HaNavi is upset when they ask for a king. And therefore, Hashem is also upset when they ask for a king, but nonetheless, Hashem decides that He's going to give them a king anyways, and Shmuel HaNavi tells them that the king will control you, the king will own you, the king will take your people as slaves to work for him, and you will pay taxes, and so forth, that even though you want a king that you could control, but eventually Hashem will send you a king that you cannot control, a king that will be a proper king. I wanted to add that according to the Kli Yoker, it's very good why Hashem did not forgive Shaul, the first king of Israel, when he didn't follow the words of Hashem, when he didn't kill Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Meaning that Shmuel HaNavi had told in the name of Hashem to Shaul HaMelech, to Shaul the king, that he should kill everybody from Amalek and kill all his animals. Shaul leaves the animals alive, and he also leaves the king Agag alive. And at that moment Hashem said that I rejected Shaul as being a king, and because of that he will lose his kingdom. Shmuel HaNavi comes to Shaul, and Shaul tells him that he fulfills the words of Hashem. Then Shmuel tells him, if that's true, then what is the noise that I'm listening of the goats, and what is this Agag, the king, doing here? Shaul answers that we brought him to be killed in front of Hashem, and we brought the animals to bring as sacrifice to Hashem. Shmuel HaNavi says to Shaul, does Hashem need sacrifices? Hashem needs you to follow His word. And then on Shmuel Aleph, chapter 15, verse number 24, there the verse says, Vayomer Shaul Shmuel, Shaul tells Shmuel, Chotosi, I have sinned, ki avarti espi Hashem, that I transgress the words of Hashem, ves dvorecha, and your words. And he says, Ki oreisi es am, because I fear the people, v'eshma bekoilam, and I hearken to their voice. Meaning, that Shaul HaMelech, the king of Israel, listened to the voice of the people and he was afraid of the people. Because of that, he did not kill the sheep and he did not kill Agag. And this was the sin that caused Shaul HaMelech to lose his kingdom. The question is, what so harsh about the sin that caused Shaul HaMelech to lose his kingdom? And according to the Kli Yoker's explanation here on the reasons of having a king, it is very understandable why Hashem rejected Shaul HaMelech. Because Hashem had warned the Jewish people that they asked improperly. They said, Sima lanu melech, that we want to have a king for us. We want to have a king that we could control. And Hashem told them that Hashem will put on them a king that will be over them, that will put their fear on them. And that is the whole purpose of a king. The king is supposed to bring fear to the Jewish people in order to cause the Jewish people not to sin. And here, the king follows the people and does what the people want. Then the whole purpose of being a king is lost. And therefore, we could say that according to the Kli Yoker, Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom because he followed the people and did not put the fear of Hashem in the people. The Rechaim HaKodesh reconciles the opinion of Rabbi Noiroi, which says that it's not proper to ask for a king, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which says that it's a mitzvah to appoint a king, and he explains it that it's optimum that we should not ask for a king, because Hashem should be the king over us. We should have the fear of Hashem and have Hashem being the king over us. We don't need to have a human representation of the king. But if you are in a lower level and you will want to put a king over you, then you have a mitzvah to appoint a king. But the optimum is that you don't have a king at all. That you should achieve a high level where you feel that Hashem is your king and the fear of Hashem is over you, and you don't need a human representation to fear in order to keep you in check and doing mitzvahs. And that is the reason why Shmuel HaNavi felt bad when the Jewish people asked for a king, because Shmuel HaNavi came to the realization that the Jewish people aren't in a lofty level. But nonetheless, once they are in that lower level, Hashem has the mitzvah for them that they should appoint a king. But if they are in a loftier level, then they realize that Hashem is Melech Malchei Amlochim, He is the king over all kings, and only Him we have to fear. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should again achieve that high level where we realize that Hashem is our only king, and we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, amen.